You're listening to a podcast from 702.
This is 702.
Let's walk the talk.
It is Afternoons with Relebogile Mabotja. I'm Yuveka Rangapa in for Relebogile today. I'm with you tomorrow as well. And up next is something that many people have done, many people have thought about, but they don't like to talk about it. So I'm going to get right into it. We're talking about colonic irrigation. We're talking about gut health in general, but specifically colon irrigation. And with the focus on gut health in recent years, you know, the answers to many of our physical and emotional problems we know can be found in our gut. That's what we're being told. So some go as far as to say that your gut is the new brain. It's where everything sits, where all the problems come from. Now, I'm going to admit I've had colon therapy or colon irrigation, as some people call it. And why I did it was because we had a friend many, many years ago who made us do it. She said, I will not be friends with you until you guys go for this thing. It will change your life. She told us and our husbands that we need to do it. Now, I'm not going to say whose husbands went for had the therapy, but I was one of those who said, okay, I'll give it a try. I'm one of those girls. I'll try anything once, twice, maybe three times as well. And you know, it actually is quite a fascinating business, I must say. It's fascinating to learn about yourself and your body and to learn what it actually does for you. And I've gotten, you know, very, very attached to the person who actually does this for me. Her name is Antonia Gamble. She's an integrative colon hydrotherapist from colonic therapy. And she's been the person who, Antonia, can I say that you know me inside and out? The only person
you definitely can.
You're the only person who knows me inside and out. Welcome, Antonia.
Thank you.
So we're going to get right to the gist of all of this, right?
The nitty-gritty, yeah.
The nitty-gritty of this, because when you talk about colon therapy or colon irrigation, people's butt cheeks start to clench. They don't.
They do.
And that's because they're afraid, because they don't understand what this is all about, right? So let's dispel some of the fear and some of the myths about colon therapy and what it actually is. If you can just tell us, in theory, what this is.
Okay, so I think the initial fear is that it's invasive. Mm. And people have these, like, pictures of a horror story. And it's really not a horror story. We do insert a speculum into the anal canal. It only goes in about a thumb's distance. Mm. And the only thing that goes further into you than that is water. So it's a very gentle infusion of water. There are some people who will use a machine. Others use gravity systems. I prefer the closed system. And it really is just the gentle introduction of water into the colon by your anus. And I know, lovely, right? And then
romantic.
Everything is in tubes. So romantic.
So romantic.
It's very clean. It's very neat. It's very tidy. Mm. Water flows in a tube, and water and waste flows out in a tube, goes directly into the sewage system. So we don't collect it and look at it afterwards, although we can.
If you want to look.
If you really want to know. Mm. But there is a view tube, so we get to see what's going on. Mm. And it's really fascinating. There are some people who have colon problems who are very badly constipated or suffer with diarrhea or suffer with IBS. Mm. And occasionally they might have a cramp or they might feel a little bit more discomfort than somebody else who's really just looking to keep their health good. Mm. But the worst that can happen is that you feel a little bloated and a little uncomfortable. It should never be painful. Mm. And you can speak for this yourself. The feeling afterwards is just fantastic.
For days afterwards, not even just immediately, for days afterwards.
Afterwards. They say that one colonic irrigation is the equivalent of doing a three-day fast.
Yes.
So if you look at taking the pressure off your gastrointestinal system, taking all the pressure off your digestive system where it's working constantly all the time, and you give it a little bit of a break and you take some of the bulk away that you don't have to deal with on your own, your body can then start normalizing. So your good bacteria start to grow back and flourish beautifully. Bloating diminishes. Oh, many, 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 many benefits.
Well, I want to go into those benefits in just a moment, but I must apologize to anybody who is having lunch at the moment. I should have said maybe put your sandwich down or just shove it into your mouth, and because we're going to start this topic now. But I think one of the things that comes to mind for most people, Antonia, is hygiene. You speak about the little contraption that you do insert. Yeah. And I think it's very important to let people know that this is a completely hygienic process as well.
Absolutely, 100%. If you ever go to a colon therapist and you feel uncomfortable or it looks unclean, you can leave, rather leave. But if you've been trained properly, generally, you know, the consensus is that we use single-use disposable speculums. And, yeah, they get chucked out after every use. And so, you know where you're going with this thing. So you kind of really want to make sure that everything is as hygienic as possible. So, you know, the setup is very simple. You'll be on a bed that does have a linen saver underneath you. You're in a gown. You have a towel over you. So your dignity is kind of taken care of as much as possible, considering what we're doing.
Yes.
And nine times out of ten, when I have a client who comes to me and says, oh, my gosh, I'm so nervous. I can't believe I'm doing this. And then after the treatment, they say, oh, is that what it was?
That's all.
I imagined so much else, so many other things. And so, you know, you got to just do it.
You got to just do it. And it's quite fascinating. Yeah. I mean, you and I have a good old chat. We catch up on many, many things and we gossip during all of this. And let's go more into those benefits then, Antonia, especially for people who do suffer with things like IBS. And you do treat children as well, but specifically for certain conditions, yes?
Yes. So, look, the children, I don't like to work with very young children. It is invasive.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of really need to be delicate and choose your patients carefully. I have worked on a young child, the age of 12, but with his consent because he was really, really suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried many, many other therapies with the doctor and things weren't working for him. And he had two colonics. It really helped him a lot. But generally, I wouldn't do it for anybody under the age of 15 or 16.
Okay.
And the eldest I've had is a man in his 90s, so age groups you know, will benefit from this. The benefits of colonic irrigation are just innumerable. You can't even begin to mention how many there are. Obviously, digestive system is going to improve. You're going to lessen your bloating. You will digest your food better. It's also about re-educating. So how are you eating? Are you wolfing your food down? You know, learn to chew your gut. Your digestive system starts in your mouth. But the benefits for people who suffer from headaches, their headaches become less and less over time. People with IBS, IBS is a really big one because we're all stressed.
Yes.
Stress is one of the biggest aggravators to gut. And your messages don't get through from your brain to your gut and your gut to your brain properly. And that can cause a whole lot of problems, discomfort, bloating, gas, heartburn, many, many, many issues like that. And, you know, when you're struggling with your gut and having to go to a meeting, you feel awful. You know, everything revolves around your gut. I like to say that it is your first brain, not your second brain. And when it's not feeling good, you don't cope well with your day.
Yeah.
You know, there's brain fog, dizziness, you know, anxiety.
It affects every aspect of your life. It absolutely does affect every... Antonia, you know, when I started doing this, there were lots of people asking me, though, you know, but doesn't it take away all the good bacteria? You're stripping not just the bad stuff, but the good stuff out. And how can you possibly... How can that possibly be good for you?
Sure. So that is a question I get asked a lot. So when you look at your microbiome, this beautiful bacterial life that lives with us, it's our first defense against the world. And there are many, many more of them than there are of us. So when we're doing colonic irrigation, it's almost like you're weeding the garden. You're taking care of the bulk of gunk out of the colon so that your good guys can flourish. So when you rid the body of impacted stools, impacted feces, you're creating space. You're creating some room for your good guys to grow and flourish. And your bacterial balance recorrects itself very, very quickly when it's given the opportunity.
And I think we have to caution people as well, Antonia. I mean, I heard stories that Princess Diana, and we know she had eating problems and eating disorders and all of that, that she did this every day. I'm not sure how true it is, but that just takes me to the point of people wanting to do this as a weight loss tool, that it is something that they hope is going to help them lose weight, which, yes, it might in the beginning, because you're kind of resetting if you've had, but it's not the answer to that, is it?
No, it's not the answer. You know, the weight loss issue is quite an interesting one, because if you think about, by the time we get to the colon, you've already ingested your food and absorbed your nutrient, right? And I think some of the role of a colon therapist is to educate a little bit as far as diet is concerned.
Yes.
And you find that when people are paying attention to their gut, they feel better, so they want to choose better food. And so you have that knock-on effect, and that's where the weight loss might come in.
Mm.
But for people abusing it, if you're a good therapist, you won't allow that to happen.
Yes.
You know, I have had a client here and there over the years, and, you know, they want to come and come again and come again, and I'm saying, okay, I'm not seeing you.
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, you are hurting yourself, you are harming yourself.
Yeah, and you won't be a part of it. Yeah.
Yeah. When I work with someone, and you know, maybe they need more help. Maybe they need different help.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're not qualified for that, refer them to somebody else who can help them.
All right.
Jen. Yeah.
All right, we're talking to Antonia Gamble. We're talking colon therapy. We're talking your gut health. If you have questions about how to keep your gut healthy, she's a colonic hydrotherapist, integrative colon hydrotherapist from Colonic Therapy. If you have questions for Antonia, give us a call.
Join us.
Let's walk the talk.
This is 702.
Welcome back. We are talking about your gut health. We're talking about procedures such as colonics, colon irrigation, colon therapy. And we're chatting with Antonia Gamble. She's an integrative colon hydrotherapist from Colonic Therapy. Antonia, before we go to our first caller, I just want to ask you, we were talking about people who try to abuse this for things like weight loss. And very quickly, what is a normal session? How often should someone be doing something like a colonic?
Okay, so I think it really would depend on what they're presenting with, what their needs are. You know, if someone just wants to keep healthy, keep their health good, I would recommend one a month. But to start with, your colon is as long as you are tall. It's the diameter of your wrist, and it's squashed into your abdomen.
Mm.
And so there are lots of places for things to get trapped and stuck and impacted. So when we start with somebody, we would do three sessions quite close together, and thereafter maintenance that suits the person.
Mm.
I have some clients who come once a month. I have others who come once a quarter. You just really go with the person and see what it is that benefits them the most.
Mm. Okay.
What I wanted to just add to that is when you go for a colon, your initial therapy, if somebody is not doing a consultation with you to find out a little bit more about you, I would not go. I would leave.
Okay.
Because you need to know that, you know, they're looking after your best interests too.
Like your medical practitioner would ask you certain questions.
Exactly.
All right. Let's go to Teboho in Centurion. Teboho, hi there.
Hi, Antonio.
Hi.
Yeah, so I just wanted to ask your guest, Antonio. I've been struggling with constipation for a long time. I've even done perhaps over 10 colonoscopies, endoscopies, trying to trace if there's any cancer and why I get compacted, and it doesn't help. I don't know what is the challenge, because I've gone through a number of gastroenterologists and they can't find anything wrong. The only thing they would say is you've got a lazy colon. That's all that they would tell me.
So when they say that you have a lazy colon, we have muscle contractions in our colon that are supposed to move your poo around, right? And if yours isn't working properly, then obviously whatever you are trying to expel will take longer. It's going to be in your colon for longer. It will dry out a little bit more. And the more it dries, the more impacted it's going to get. So there, obviously, you know, we don't diagnose, and, you know, listening to you on the phone, I'd need to know a little bit more about you. But one of the things that you can do is look to your diet. Your digestion starts in your mouth. It's really important that you chew your food properly. Avoid foods that are that create inflammation, so things like dairy and gluten, for example. Make sure you're drinking enough water. A lot of people don't drink enough water.
Mm.
And this is, I think, one of the biggest helpers in gut health, is to make sure you're hydrated sufficiently.
Mm.
Chewing your food is very, very important. You have to access the fibers that are available in your vegetables. The best form of fiber comes from vegetables, not grain or cereal. And so, you know, just picking up those few tips, chewing your food, drinking more water, eating more vegetables, paying attention to the foods that aggravate you. So if you eat something and you find that you feel bloated later, pay attention, make a note.
Mm.
try and avoid that food because clearly it's not working for you.
Yeah.
And when you've got to a point where your gut is healed and feeling better, you can start adding things back in. But if you don't take the gremlins away, you know, if you don't change what goes into your mouth, the gut's not going to change.
You're just compounding the problem. You're just adding more layers to the problem. But Antonia, and like you say, you'd have to know more about Teboho. And if he is suffering at the moment and this has been going on for weeks, it might be worth a visit to someone like you just to see what's going on or to just get rid of what is there. But like you say, you'd have to speak to him more to actually figure out what the problem is. Teboho, I hope you found that helpful. Just a WhatsApp that's come through saying, I've had a colonic irrigation many times and always felt clean and well afterwards. Not sure if this was just psychological. However, my gastroenterologist is completely against this procedure and I've taken his professional view and stopped. So, and the person would like to hear from gastroenterologists as well. We don't have one on the show today, but everyone, look, there are people who are for it and people who are against it. And it might not be for everyone, Antonia, and I'm sure you've come up against this before.
I have come up, you know, there is a lot of pushback from the medical environment. And I think it's kind of, if we could work hand in hand with each other, work together, I think that it would really benefit patients more. But they just, you know, a lot of them just, you know, cancel it out. No, it's not good for you. It's not a good therapy. It ruins your gut. I don't know. In my opinion, I've been doing this for 25 years. All I see is that it helps.
Okay.
I've had so many, many successes with clients. And there are some gastroenterologists out there who do refer to me.
Okay. So on the other hand.
As a colon therapist.
Okay.
So, you know, I think it just depends on the guy.
Okay. Here's a voice note for us.
Hello. I just wanted to find out about first coffee enemas and the advantages of that and the disadvantages of that. And then, of course, how do we go about it? What does it cost? Where do we go? Thanks.
Coffee. Okay, I'm assuming we're not just doing our re-coffee up the...
No Frisco, please.
Okay, all right, tell us. I mean, is that a thing?
It is a thing, and it's an amazing thing.
Oh, okay.
So we would start with a normal colonic irrigation because you do want to clear the bowel a little bit first before you add the coffee. We call it a retention enema, and so we make coffee out of organic filtered coffee, preferably beans that are mold-free, and we allow that to sit in the colon for about 10 minutes. Obviously, each person will have their own tolerance. I've had some clients who go up to 15 minutes, even 20 minutes, and others can't make 5. But we start slowly, and we always go to the person's tolerance.
So what does the coffee actually do? Why coffee?
Yeah, so it stimulates an enzyme in your liver that is an amazing antioxidant. So you're getting really quite an incredible antioxidant benefit from that. It tones and strengthens your bowel walls. It helps with bloating. The main thing for me is that it detoxes your liver. There's an institute called the Gerson Institute. I think it's Max Gerson. And he helps people. Well, I don't want to use the word he cures people of cancer, but he helps people with cancer recover using coffee.
All right. Okay. So, Antonia, let's try and get through some more voice notes and other messages very quickly.
Hi, Antonio. My mom has a colostomy of the lower intestine. Would she be a candidate for such a procedure? She has had diverticulitis and she has IBS. Could it actually help her? Thanks, Janice and Benoni.
Yeah, sorry, Janice, love. It would be a contraindication.
Okay, so she wouldn't be. It wouldn't be safe for her.
No.
To be able to do that. Okay.
No, yeah.
All right. Sorry about that, Janice. Wish that it was something that could help Mom, yeah. But unfortunately not. Okay. And then there was a WhatsApp that came through earlier, somebody wanting to know if medical aid would actually cover this.
Yeah. Up till now, no, they have not.
All right. And then somebody wants to know about fecal transplants. I've never heard that. Do you do fecal transplants? What is the status of fecal transplant in South Africa? That doesn't sound very nice.
No. So there is somebody in South Africa who does do fecal transplants. He is a gastroenterologist. You need someone medically trained to do a gastric implant. And I'm told it's very successful.
Mm.
So if somebody has no microbiome or their microbiome is very badly damaged, maybe because of, you know, cancer treatments, chemotherapy, or, you know, an illness of some sort, they can do a fecal implant. And so it's really giving you somebody else's microbiome, and hopefully it then generates and inoculates your bowel to make its own again.
All right. And then just Antonia, before we have to go, some questions about probiotics and prebiotics and bifidobacterium. Does all yogurt and foods contain bifidobacterium, or only certain foods? And if you can answer this as well, if drinking prebiotic fiber, is that good for you? And they say it's very expensive. They cannot find it. Can you maybe recommend some?
So generally what I would recommend first is try and get your nutrient from your food. Make sure you're eating fiber-rich food. So all fiber-rich food is a prebiotic, and your bacteria love fiber, but you want the correct fiber. And generally I would recommend, you know, fruit and vegetables. It's an insoluble fiber that your bacteria love. To eat yogurt, to get your good bacteria in, you'd need gallons of it.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, they've kind of passed their date. a lot of yogurt will say, yes, there's live bacteria in it, but by the time you get it home, they're not so alive anymore.
Okay. All right. So hopefully, so many questions, but we've run out of time, Antonia, but thanks so much. And just somebody, Lorenzo, saying that this has absolutely been wonderful for him. He started having them last year. He used to have headaches and feel bloated from the first session, and then started feeling great, and his body was light with increased energy levels. And he also takes probiotics as a form of maintenance, and he goes every 3 months to keep everything on track. So well done to Antonia and others. You seem to be changing lives out there. Antonia Gamble from Colonic Therapy, thank you so much for your time.